We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. We praise your holy name. We exalt you today, for you are above all things. And by all things, you hold everything together. There is none like you. There is only one God, one way, and it is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May we align ourselves with you today. May we incline our heart to you today. May we see you like we've never seen you before, even today. Would you open the eyes of our heart, Lord? Will you show us in your word the truth and let it resonate and go down deep and take root and we be changed. We thank you for your holy presence that is with us right now, right this very moment. You're here. You're here. We know it. We know, because we're two or more are gathered in your name. There you are in the midst of them. There you are. So we give you honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a king of Israel, and God led mightily through him and prospered him and blessed him because this king relied on him. But there came a day when this king decided to make an alliance with another king because there was an army that was building a resource and reinforcing against them. And so he used his human logic and made a deal. And part of the deal was he took the things out of the temple and he gave them to another king for protection. And there was a seer then that came, because God sent the seer, Hanani. And the seer said something so amazing. Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. He's thinking about another time when the Lord worked. He said, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may support those whose heart is completely his. But in this you have acted foolishly, because you've relied on somebody else. And so King Asa moved along in his life, and then he got diseased feet, and even in that, he relied on the physicians and did not rely on the Lord God. That really is the dilemma for all of us sitting here today, because the human will wants to do it our own way. Self-reliance really across the board in the world and unfortunately in the church is so prevalent today. We want to rely on our own resources. And I can honestly tell you that I am kind of was the poster child of self-reliance, depending upon myself. I really thought that living the Christian life was up to me. And so, as I was saying yesterday, there was a time when I became a Christian, and I knew I was going to go to heaven, and everything in between that was up to me. You know, I knew God was going to source some of it, but I really felt like I was supposed to live for God. And there was a day when all of a sudden I realized, I don't think that's the way it's supposed to go. And the Lord just laid it on my heart and said, you know, so what when you get to heaven and you learn that I really wanted to live it through you rather than you living it for me? And there's a reason for that. All through the Gospels, especially in the book of John, you hear the Lord say, I do nothing of my own initiative. I only do those things that the Father tells me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ, who holds everything in its place, who is the Creator, all things are for him and to him, and he's above all things, finds himself on earth, not depending upon his own strength, not relying upon himself, but instead relying upon the Lord, God Almighty, the Father. Father, I do nothing of my own initiative. He doesn't initiate on his own. It's incredible, I think. And that is the model, if you will, of how the Christian ought to be living. It is the invitation of a lifetime to come to that place where I can't source it. The other thing I said on Thursday was a quote by Major Ian Thomas, who said, I can't. You can. You never said I could. You always said you would. And so God brings this to these places, these crucibles, if you will, where we realize we have nothing to live the Christian life in and of ourselves. And so God brought me through a season, kind of a 2-year after being a Christian since I was 5 years old, where he kind of flattened me out, where there was brokenness, before his throne. And my title today is Pray and Pray Like You've Never Prayed Before. It's what the church needs to be doing today, is to pray and pray like you've never prayed before. Pray with intensity and pray with a focus that before God's throne, and we prayed before the service today, I wish you all could have been in there. Because there's a humility that happens before God. There is a brokenness, like Bethany and I forget the other man's name was singing with her, but that's what they were singing about. You can't. He can. You can't. He can. He wants to. It's the eager longing of the Holy Spirit today, is to actually live his life through you. But as long as self-sufficiency is in the way, they're going to see people living with form and not living with power. Amazing, isn't it? So there's another passage I'd like to have us turn to, if you will. And it's Mark 8. And I'm going to begin with Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, because turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." And he summoned the crowd and said to his disciples and to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of the Father, his Father, with the angels." That is normal Christianity. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. That is normal Christianity. We don't do it very well. We're not very accustomed to denying ourselves. And, you know, most of the time when I talk about deny yourself, we think of it's a big deal if we deny ourselves a piece of chocolate cake. It's so much bigger than that. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And so this word deny is actually means to disassociate yourself from yourself. How do we do that? Except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter, when he denied the Lord the 3 times, that was the same word. He disassociated himself from Jesus. He said, "I don't know him." Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. It's a beautiful sequence. It's actually when we deny ourselves, we are being enabled to carry the cross. And when we carry the cross, we're following after Jesus. And this is pre-cross, right? He's speaking beforehand. King Asa did not deny himself. He was saving his own bacon, saving his own skin, so he thought. And you know, when you begin talking about deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him, to the world, doesn't that sound like foolishness? Huh. And that's what the word says. The word of the cross to those who are perishing is foolishness. It's nonsense. But to those who are being saved by it, it is the very life of God. It's life. It's life-giving. And the world today is waiting for a clear demonstration of what deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him looks like. It is. The world is hungry to see. I pause a lot because I'm waiting. I want to run with God. I want to run with him. I want to go all the way. And as long as there's like a shred of self-reliance, you know, a dependence upon my own capabilities, my own strength, it really only leads to frustration. How many believers in the body of Christ experience just like frustration? You know, like for the longest time, remember? And he says, "And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And I came to give you life and give it more abundantly." And for me, the longest time, it was like, I want the abundant, what's the abundant life? It's Christ in you and the hope of glory. That's the abundant life. And there are many, many people today throughout the church who are praying for revival. Because they know, we know, because of looking at the world today, it's getting worse, is it not? You think about what happened in France just a couple days ago. There is evil. Things are happening, and God is preparing his bride. He's getting us ready. And part of that getting us ready is that we become acquainted with deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. It's got to happen. And that's the invitation, and that's the burn in my heart. So, you know, I want you to picture. I was living out of a duffel bag for a year because God told me to do something and I did it, and the consequences were I lived out of a duffel bag. And during that time, I'm alone a lot with him. And it's in Idaho. And if you know anything about Idaho, there's a lot of rural mountains. And so I would take these walks with the Lord down the trail, and I'd cry my eyes out because I was getting broken. I was expressing frustration that it wasn't happening like I wanted it to happen. Anybody there? You know, you look at your life, you're trying to manage it. You're trying to, you know, wish it could look like I wanted it to look. Right now. Yeah. And in those places, you're in the middle of a holy squeeze. And God's saying, I have a plan. And it's good. And it's not your agenda. And I'm bringing you place to a broken place. So you'll learn how to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Because I'm itching to live out of you. And as long as you've got a stranglehold on your life, I can't live out of you. So, again, you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, the one who called everything into being. And in John 14, Philip says to him, Jesus, show us the Father. You haven't showed us the Father yet. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you so long that you have not seen me? Do you realize, in the most profound way, when we saw Jesus, we were seeing the Father. Because Jesus emptied himself. Because the plan was always that he would show a dependent, reliant life on God. And so when we saw Jesus heal the blind, we were actually seeing the Father heal the blind. When we saw Jesus walking on the water, we were actually seeing the Father walk on the water. When we saw Jesus feed the 5,000 and the 6,000 and the multitudes, we were actually seeing the Father feed the multitudes. It's in our Bibles. It's right there. That's the model. And we get there as believers by denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following him. That's the road. That's it. It's incredible. I want to deny myself. I want to get an A+ in self-denial. I want to be the head of the class. For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole world, that he may show himself strong to those whose heart is completely his. Don't you want that Don't you want to say, like, I'm it? You know, as Jesus is roaming around, you know, this Holy Spirit roaming around throughout the whole earth looking for a man and a woman, a child, who are going to say, yeah, I'm it, Lord. That he may show himself strong, that he may reveal himself through you in the workplace. I know Roy works in New York City. I don't know where. I know somebody has a surf school. It's so cool. Beth, surf school. That he may show himself strong, that he may reveal his presence. Remember 2 Corinthians 4:7. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots. I'm a broken pot. I'm a cracked pot. God knows I'm not making a joke. That's absolutely the truth. That the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God. Anybody know the second part of that? And not of ourselves. And I always want to put a word there, definitely not of ourselves. Because you know, the other part of this is my flesh loves self-reliance. And, you know, and even my flesh knows how to do religion really well. And self-righteousness really well. And pride really well. But it's like, I don't want to do that anymore. Time is short. Time is short. And I know, you know, it's like my messages are kind of random. Roy said this morning, he said, you know, 3 points. And, it, you know, he was talking, he was like, I don't have 3 points. I think I probably have 20. Because I just share right out of my heart. You don't know me, really. You know, became a Christian when I was a squirt. Much of my life was just like this, dysfunctional family. Anybody else from a dysfunctional family? Part of that time, I spent in and out of a psychiatric hospital. 10 years in and out of a psychiatric hospital. And the psychiatrist said, you're always going to be this way. Chronic and acute, just so you know. But we'll be here for you. We'll pump you up with medication. I'm not against medication, but you understand. When you're depressed and you hear the words, there's no hope for you, you get a little, you know, suicidal. Despair gets kind of settles in. And God pulled me out of it because I turned to him. Amen. I turned to him. I said, in a way, I just embraced the depression and said, okay, if this is my life, okay, I praise you. I praise you, oh God. In the middle of all of it, I just praised you, and I began to exalt his name, and he showed me that as long as you focus on your needs, you give attention to what you don't have. And when you give attention to what you have, don't have, you get very depressed. So stop doing that. And I'm so aware, just in ministry, how many Christians live half empty, from that half empty perspective, rather than the fullness. The fullness of God. Because he wants to live his life through you. If I knew all your names, I would just say. It's like, Kevin, he wants to live his life through you. Jesus Christ, who lived over 2,000 years ago, wants to live his life through you today. But then there's this, I surrender all. Don't you love that song? I surrender all. I give you all. I believe you. I believe you. I believe who you are. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came. And you came to redeem. And you came to set the captives free. You didn't come to just hold us down and we wouldn't have any joy. You called us to abundant life. And I think part of the deny ourselves and take up our cross is happens up here. Happens in my thought life. 2 Corinthians 10. If we could just turn there. Second Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful, in other words, sourced by for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is like unto it. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, which, when you stop and think about it, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him, that's worship. That's prayer. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So we all have thoughts, and some of those thoughts say, you know, God doesn't exist, or he's just not going to show up here for you, or in this situation, he's just not enough. And those are the thoughts that we take captive. Those are those incremental steps of deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, because those thoughts actually interfere with who he is. Anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God. And so, you know, jealousies, someone says something to you and you get offended. We never think of denying those thoughts, or very rarely do we. I mean, someone says, a husband, a spouse, someone says something offensive and it's like, oh, that hurt, that just hurt. And we replay the video. Sometimes I have full-length videos playing in my head with a soundtrack in the background. Those are the things that we take captive to God because they interfere with this dependent life he's calling us to. It's incredible. It's just the nitty-gritty of it. And we don't do it on our own strength. He does it. He sources the whole thing. So I have this picture, and it's very fresh in my mind, a recent experience. And let's say, you know, you're aging, and, you know, here's your life, kind of your life, and you've got lots of opinions and lots of positions on certain things. And you got lots and lots and lots of thoughts about certain things, but especially opinions, which, you know, we're not very short on supply on opinions, are we, in this culture? You have all that, and it kind of just roams around, and we just think the same thoughts, and we have the same positions, and we've got the same ideas and the same opinions. and then you die that way. Never fully moving on with the Lord. Never fully moving on. When it's like, I want to think your thoughts, Lord. I want a renewed mind. If I've been given the mind of Christ, I want to think his thoughts. You know, in Philippians, he says, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's of good repute, if there's any excellence, I know there's more to that verse. Let your mind dwell on these things. Because you want to go on. You want to go on with the Lord, and that's the pray, and pray like you've never prayed before. That's it. So here's Joshua and Caleb, and they are so excited to cross over into the promised land. God's given it to them, and they go over and they spy out the land, and they bring back this lush fruit. And then the people begin to go, you know, we know that's the land God gave us, but we're like grasshoppers to the people in there, which is a complete exaggeration, but you know, that's what they said. And then basically God said, get back out into the wilderness, wander around. But the army went, no, we'll get in there, we'll do it. Self-reliance again. And they got defeated, and they still had to go in the wilderness for 40 years. But here's Joshua and Caleb, and they're going, we want to go in because we know God has promised that he's going to take care of us in there. Okay, so they wandered for 40 years, and that generation died out. But here's Joshua and Caleb again. And Moses, you know, tells them, you're going to cross over today. In Joshua 1, he says to Joshua, only be strong and courageous. For the Lord is going to give you this land. He's going ahead of you. He's going to give it to you. Only be strong and courageous. And they cross over, and God prospers them. And they have moments when they rely upon themselves, but God prospers them. I want to be like Joshua and Caleb. I want to cross over. I want to go all the way. Does anybody else want to? It's like, go all the way. Just go all the way. Recently, I was speaking in a church, and we were talking about that, and so, you know, it was primarily older, gray-headed, lovely women. And I said, so are there any Joshuas and Calebs in here? And I said, you know, like show of a hand, you know. And they kind of went. And I said, seriously, go all the way. Because you know what? Especially for us in this generation, we may be the last of the generations before he returns. We may be it. We may be the last of the generations before he returns. He may come very soon. He says, I'm coming quickly. Behold, I'm coming quickly. The very last chapter of Revelation, he says, behold, I'm coming quickly. He says it three times. That was a long time ago. We see things happening now throughout the world, and we know he's coming quickly. What if we are the last of the generations before he returns? Well, then let's go on with it. Let's take him all the way. Let's take him at his word. Let's pray, and pray like we've never, ever prayed before. Pray the prayers of denial, self-denial. And when God brings you to those places where you got to take up your cross, you go, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will follow you. I will go. I will go. I don't know how long your church service lasts. That's my message today to you. It's been a precious time. I've never been to New York before. If I'd stay another week, I'd talk like you do. As you know, God loves you so much. Every single last one of you. He loves you so much. And he meets you every single day. He's not far off. He's right here. He'll never leave you. Go with God. Go with God. Father, I thank you. I hear your faithfulness to your word. It never returns void. It always accomplishes the very thing and the purpose for which you sent it. And so, in my randomness, I ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will bring out of that message, because it is your word, and you will bring it down deep into the heart of every single person sitting here. You're the one who gave all. May we lay hold of it by faith and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Send me. Send me. I pray this in the glorious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.